Welcome to The Goal is Whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ. Series 2, focus on security, hope unshakable. Study H1, secure in his plan.
Can I open up with this passage at the end of the book of Jude, verses 24 to 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. In the new creation, we've become part of an eternal plan set up by God himself. This is not some random event centered on us. No, it's a vast, glorious plan that God designed and put in place for all eternity that he is inviting us to become part of. It's much bigger than us. Let's look at this passage. It opens up with this amazing statement, now to him who is able. The confidence that we have in the new creation life is not based on our ability or our commitment or our performance. Rather, it's firmly rooted in God himself, who it says is able to keep us from stumbling and make us stand in the presence of his glory blameless. Isn't that amazing? Eternal salvation, underwritten by God himself, guaranteed to produce ongoing eternal results. It can never be corrupted. And it will never fail. So because of this, we no longer need to be in fear, in doubt, or confusion about our eternal destiny. We're in Christ forever. We're secure in his plan. Salvation's about God. It's about Jesus and all that is being outworked in them, their purpose. And our identity is simply being included in that. And because they're so committed to their plan, that's why we're so secure in what we have. It's a big part of why we can be assured of our eternity in his love. And when we grasp how glorious and awesome his plan and purpose is, we'll have so much more excitement and motivation to participate in all that he's doing. Turning quickly now to Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to look at verse 4 and 5. It says this, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we will be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Isn't it wonderful to know that God has kind intentions in his will? And that included bringing us into secure sonship. We're not merely members who join some organization. We are born into God's own family. We looked a lot at that in the first unit, the new identity unit. So it says here that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. You see how this is such an eternal plan that God has been working on. And this is why we call this eternal destiny. Notice it says that God chooses all who are in Christ. Predestination doesn't mean he chooses who comes into him and who doesn't. That invitation is given to all. But those who receive, those who align, those who choose, they become fit to be his chosen ones. And they become the chosen ones of God. And that's simply because he can't choose the old creation for his eternal plan. He only chooses the new. So his pool of chosen ones is those who come into Christ. That's what it says. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. God set that up right from the beginning. Well, the eternal purposes of God are multifaceted. We're not going to cover even just a small, tiny piece of all of his purposes in this unit. But today I just want to focus on one key element of his purpose. And that is the desire to have a bride for his son, Jesus. And you know, this is just an outworking of a pattern that we see in the creation of the first human race in Adam. Let's look back into Genesis to see how that unfolded in chapter 2. You know, it says that God created man and placed him in the garden. But very soon, Adam was looking for a bride. Genesis 2:18 says this, "The Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." In verse 20, after Adam had started naming all the animals and things and inspecting what was around in the creation, it became obvious there was not found a helper suitable for him. Verse 21 then says this, "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man." See how God stepped in to intervene to make the bride for Adam. Carrying on, it says, "He slept, Adam slept, and then he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now, in the same way, if you can see the parallel here, when Jesus looked around for a wife, again, there was none suitable. The old creation, the fallen race, was not compatible with him. So just as with Adam, God put Jesus to sleep. That's the death on the cross. And took his bride from his side. It's the blood and the water that flowed from the side of Jesus that gave rise to the new creation. And this is who we are. This is how God forms the bride for Jesus. John, in chapter 19, speaks about this. Says this, "Coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he's telling the truth, so that you also may believe." It's John 19, 33 to 35. And John went on to write more about this in his letter of 1 John. In chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, we read this. "Who is the one who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It's the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth." So out of the side of Jesus emerged with the blood and water giving rise to the new creation. Out of his side emerged an overcomer bride, overcoming the world, as John says, which is the old creation, washed in his blood, made new in the new creation, a creation that is now suitable to be his wife. This is not you or me individually. It's the entire company of the new creation race. We are his bride together. Revelation 19, we read verse 7 and 8, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Paul explained this as a great mystery, and one which is demonstrated through human marriage. In Ephesians 5, verse 25 to 32, we read about Paul's instructions about human marriage, the role of the husband, the role of the wife. But at the end, he makes this amazing statement. Verse 32, he says, "This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church." God's eternal purpose in Christ was to bring him a bride that carries his glory, that shares his nature in him and through him. And that's us, the new creation people. Knowing this eternal purpose and plan of God and how we fit into it gives us a great assurance of eternal security and a tremendous sense of purpose and worth. I hope you're sensing that. Praise Jesus. We'll continue as we unpack more about what this eternal destiny is and what we have in it.
The goal is whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ.